Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek won't step down but is considering options for holding early elections. Czech pharmacists will join a strike by the nation's general practitioners in protest of late payments by insurers. And two police officials are demoted for their handling of a neo-Nazi concert. Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek on Monday soundly rejected demands by the main opposition Civic Democratic Party that he step down to pave the way for early elections in December. Paroubek had said at the weekend elections could be held in February or March, about 3 months early, by passing a law that would shorten the government's term. He did so following signals from the leaders of the minor parties in his coalition government that they were willing to form a new government with the opposition Civic Democrats. Under the Constitution, early elections may be held after Parliament rejects a confidence vote in the government 3 times. Prime Minister Paroubek has proposed adopting an amendment to the Constitution, allowing that process to be bypassed. Czech pharmacies will close their doors at noon on October 6th for 1 hour in support of a planned all-day strike by general practitioners. The actions have been called to protest the chronic failure of health insurers to reimburse medical professionals on time. For their part, insurers say they are 2 months or more behind in reimbursements because they receive too little state support to insure civil servants, the unemployed, and retirees. Two Czech police officials have been demoted for their poor handling of a neo-Nazi concert that took place in southern Bohemia a week ago Saturday. Some 500 Czech skinheads and extremists from other countries attended the concert near the town of Strakonice. According to a complaint by observers from the anti-racist group Tolerance, police monitored the event but failed to intervene when participants shouted Nazi slogans, a criminal offense in the Czech Republic. The president of the police presidium, Vladislav Husák, on Monday said he has demoted for 1 year both the regional and district deputy department heads directly responsible for that police action. He cited their failure to deploy a sufficient number of officers to the scene and to receive evidence of illegal behavior from the independent observers as factors. Finally, the weather. Overcast skies and light rain is the forecast for the coming days, with temperatures in the high teens. That's the end of the news. I'm Brian Kennedy. Stay tuned now for the rest of the program. You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, the Greens have a new leader. Can he drum up enough support to enter Parliament without the help of other small parties? We treat you to a sneak preview of Roman Polanski's new film, Oliver Twist, shot on location in Prague, and in Czech science, From Insomnia to Snoring, a look at recent advances in sleep medicine. Stay tuned. Somewhat in the shadow of high politics, the Czech Green Party elected a new leader over the weekend and made bold plans for the future. Although the party has never attracted quite enough votes to be able to enter the lower house of parliament and has just 1 seat in the Senate, its new leader, former Environment Minister Martin Bursík, feels that the time is now ripe for the Greens to play a bigger role in Czech politics. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Strana zelených je zavedená evropská značka. My máme velmi silnou ideologii a máme vlastní politická témata, která...
The newly elected leader Martin Bursík there, who won hands down over his rival Jan Beránek, outlining a bold election strategy. He told journalists his party would fight for a place in the sun and it would do so on its own steam rather than by joining forces with other smaller parties and thus confusing voters as regards their agenda. The party wants to address primarily environmentally conscious voters with a vision, but it is also aware of the growing number of disillusioned voters who are looking around for a new and trustworthy political force ahead of the 2006 general elections. Petr Štěpánek is the party's deputy chairman.
The Czech Republic had so far a big segment of voters who were unrepresented, and those were voters who... think in much longer terms than just the next election year or the next 4 years. And those are people who I would call intelligent consumers, people who treasure quality of life and who understand that we need to plan for much longer time than our governments usually do. We will come with a campaign of quality of life, of trucks to tracks, or if you want, trucks transfer on railroads and environmental tax reform.
Why do you think, why has the Green Party failed to attract more voters in the past?
Green Party didn't fail to attract voters in the past on all levels. Green Party has a very wide experience from local level. It had over the last 10 years hundreds of council members, and the party simply was not up to the big politics because of lack of experience. But with all of these people who gathered experience over the last 10 years in local councils, it is finally up to the task.
The Czech political scene is becoming visibly polarized at the moment, and many voters are in fact disillusioned, so they may not want to pick one of the two big parties. Are you hoping to attract protest votes as well?
We're at an interesting crossroad, not just in the Czech Republic, but Europe-wide, where the left doesn't represent left ideas anymore, and the world is not black and white or left and right. And I think the best example is the post-election situation in neighboring Germany. And I think this is something we'll have to deal with on all levels of government. And the Czech Greens can play a role in this by representing people who are no longer ideologically left or right, but who want a simpler system of governing and at the same time keeping their social standard high.
Green Party Deputy Chairman Petr Stepanek was speaking with our own Daniela Lazareva. One of the world's most famous film directors, Roman Polanski, was in Prague this weekend to attend the premiere of his latest film, Oliver Twist, an adaptation of Charles Dickens' classic novel of life on the streets of Victorian London. Oliver Twist is the latest major movie to be filmed in Prague, mostly at the city's Barrandov Studios. So, is it any good? Theo Schwinke from the Prague Daily Monitor was at the premiere and spoke earlier to my colleague Rob Cameron.
Please, sir, I want some more.
What? Oliver Twist has asked for more.
For more?
That boy will be hanged.
I thought Polanski has made a really good film here. It's visually stunning to look at, and I think it's going to do very well with families. It's a step apart from the typical children's film like a Harry Potter.
Now, of course, this isn't the first version of Oliver Twist. The most famous version was the musical by Carol Reed. How does this film compare to earlier versions of this Dickens story?
I think Polanski has done a really good job of staying true to the Dickens story in its spirit and in its letter. The characters are very much larger than life. They're almost caricatures of humanity, which I think is what Dickens was getting at.
You have come here to be educated and to be taught a useful trade.
Take down the shutters!
Clear the office.
Say your prayers.
Yes.
Let the boy alone.
It was filmed in Prague, as many films are these days. Does a lot of Prague come through on the screen? Were there lots of places that you immediately recognised?
Not at all. It was almost entirely shot on the back lot at Barrandov Studios. So they recreated numerous late 19th century London streets. I had an opportunity to visit the set when they wrapped production, and it was really, really effective, the illusion that they created. You really felt like you were on a street.
Fancy that, your famous Fagin.
We just saw at the weekend a Czech film, something like Happiness, win at San Sebastian, a fairly prestigious film festival. Can you see a day when a really, really big budget Czech film gains commercial success somewhere around the world, something like Oliver Twist? Is that ever going to happen?
It could happen, Rob. When you talk about commercially successful Czech films, you immediately think of a couple films, Kolya being one of those, which of course was not a huge moneymaker. I suppose the film that everyone's got their eye on now is Jiří Menzel's project. He's trying to make I Serve the King of England, based on the Bohumil Hrabal story. The story has been in pre-development for a long time. They've had some trouble with the rights to the story, but that has a pretty big budget and has had prestigious names attached to it in the past. If it gets made, and when it gets made, I think a lot of people will be expecting big numbers out of that.
Definitely one to look out for. Thank you very much, Theo.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your kindness. I'll always remember it.
Rob Cameron speaking to Theo Schwinke, editorial director of Monitor CE, publishers of the Prague Daily Monitor. Wednesday is St. Wenceslas Day, an official holiday here in the Czech Republic, marking the death of the nation's patron saint. September 28th is also known as the Day of Czech Statehood. For the holiday, Radio Prague is broadcasting a special program for listeners, including an interview with Joyce Pritchard, an American woman who recently went back to discover her Czech roots in Romania.
We saw not quite the life that our great-grandparents lived, but I was astounded by the fact that many of the customs had to have been the same as they were when our great-grandparents left there.
So please do join us Wednesday for the trip of a lifetime as we hear the story of Miss Pritchard's journey to the ethnically Czech villages of Romania in search of her roots. Last Friday was European Researchers' Night, an event involving a variety of science-oriented programs for the public, which ran late into the night. In Prague, one of the topics discussed was sleep. Let's now hear more in Czech Science with Pavla Horáková.
Humans spend about one-third of their lives sleeping. Many people take it for granted that they fall asleep in the evening and wake up rested in the morning. But about one half of the population of this planet is at risk of developing one of almost 100 sleep disorders, and snoring is one of them, which can have serious consequences for their health. That's why a discipline called sleep medicine is there to help treat sleep disorders, from insomnia to narcolepsy, or the inability to resist sleep. Sleep medicine has a long history in the Czech Republic. Neurology professor and head of the first medical faculty's neurological clinic at Charles University, Sonja Nevšímalová, is one of the researchers who carry on the tradition started in the 1950s by Professor Bedřich Roth.
We were one of the first sleep laboratories in the Central Europe. It was more than 50 years ago. It was Professor Roth who was head at this laboratory, and I think that he was very, very famous in the whole world because he has the largest material of patients, particularly patients suffering from narcolepsy and hypersomnia, excessive daytime sleepiness. He collected more than 1,000 of patients, and I remember that he was one of the first pioneer of this topic in the whole world. He also was one of the founder of the World Federation of Sleep Medicine, and he was also founder of sleep medicine here in Czechoslovakia.
In her research, Professor Sonja Nevšímalová specializes in sleep disorders in children. In the year 2000, she determined that a gene mutation was responsible for narcolepsy in one of her boy patients, a unique case so far.
I cooperated for many, many, many years with Stanford University, and 5 years ago we received together with Professor Mignot the prize of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. It was prize for the first mutation in narcolepsy child.
Last year, Professor Nevšímalová presented her research at a congress of the European Sleep Research Society held in Prague. Despite the advances in Czech sleep research, the incidence of sleep disorders in Czech population is no different from the rest of the industrialized world.
I think that it is the same, but I hope that now what is improved is diagnosis of these diseases and also therapeutic possibilities.
A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and it's now time for One on One. In this week's program, Kay Gugar's guests are a Sri Lankan couple who met while students in Prague during the turbulent 1960s.
today's one-on-one, I am speaking with Nandini and Asoka Verasing, both successful professionals in Alberta, Canada, due to hard work and a good education, which started with a scholarship to study in Prague. Nandini studied medicine at Charles University and Asoka engineering at Prague's Technical University. Prague is where they met. They eventually went on to complete their studies in Western Europe, emigrated to Canada, and finally got married in their home country of Sri Lanka. They came to Czechoslovakia during the big changes of the mid-1960s. Many doors that closed for Czech students with the Soviet invasion of 1968 remained open for foreign students, granted they were successful in their exams. They had only 1 year of intensive study to grasp the complexities of the Czech language. Now they are visiting the Czech Republic again for the second time since their days as students here. Though eager to eat Czech food and drink Czech beer, the idea was not always so appealing for them. Asoka begins with his first impressions of Prague.
I arrived September 4th of 1964. My first impression was it's very cold, although it was, now I know, it not the coldest period. However, coming from a tropical country and just stepping outside of the airport, I felt this cold all over my body. The second thing I found was that it is a well-organized place compared to Sri Lanka. People provided whatever the information to us and treated us in a very organized manner.
As he said, that because the weather change is a drastic change for me. And also because I didn't have the proper clothing, even though we tried in Sri Lanka to get some clothing, I didn't want to be out of place. So actually I had a winter coat found in Sri Lanka, which was actually some mink coat, which I didn't know how much worth it is. And I just threw it because nobody else was wearing it. The other thing was found is the food. The food was so much different. And our food is very spicy, as you know. There was no spice at all in Czech food. So I was not able to eat it for the first few months. And then the language, of course, and then the cultural differences that we have, Czech culture, which is a Western type of culture.
I've heard this before from students studying here from Asia and Africa. The weather is cold, the food is bland, but more so than these basic yet important elements, did you find the culture oppressive in any way?
It took me a while to realize how the political situation, it is impacting the culture, so forth and so on. Fortunately, we were sent to a language center, and the teachers and the staff were very understanding, and they explained to us, even sometimes the sign language, they might say that is not exactly the way we should use that language in Czechoslovakia.
The way that we say yes and no. I think when I went to the doctor got confused because the way I said no, my head turned different way than it should have been in Czechoslovakia. So he got all confused, then he corrected me. In Sri Lanka is, I think, very close society. The girls did not really have that much freedom. They had to be always escorted by parents. There, of course, the women and the men, they could go anywhere at any time, and there was a nightlife. I was from village, so I wasn't exposed to the glamour or the town life in Sri Lanka anyway.
So in a way for you, it wasn't oppressive at all. It was in a way completely opening up different avenues for a female. Can I say that?
Yes, different way of life, totally. I think better in a way. So it was a little difficult initially, but we got adapted very quickly.
Did you notice the gradual liberalization of Czechoslovakia in the late 60s under General Secretary Alexander Dubček?
I noticed dealing with the students, when we had the opportunity to talk one-on-one basis, they sort of indicated their desire to perhaps visit other countries, explore the other countries, and perhaps even go and study in the other countries or work in other countries. The rules were such, as a foreign student, I didn't have any problem. During my vacation, I could go to other countries and come back. And I saw the vast interest of my Czech colleagues to perhaps do the same thing. When it comes to the Prague springtime 1968, people were very much excited about the new opportunities they may be getting.
How did the invasion in 1968 change you? And how did that affect your studies or affect your goals?
I wouldn't say it really affected us particularly, because as foreign students, there was no political pressure on us. Actually, as long as we didn't do anything against the Czech government, even as far as our freedom goes, it didn't really change because we are foreign students. The same rules did not apply. Of course, for the Czech students and the other Czech people, I think that their freedom got affected.
Despite there being a rule that you couldn't protest the government, did you end up protesting at all?
Well, I participated in a student protest. It was a spontaneous situation. Strahov, where I lived during my studies, there was an electrical power failure on a continuous basis, and that was the examination time, and I could say the students were very frustrated. Obviously, the first few days we all took easy and went for a few beers and came home, but when it is coming closer to the exams, we realized that constant power failures were creating a havoc in our studies. So students said, let's go and complain to the president. And we just all started to walk towards Rachani, and the authorities didn't like it very much. Students were arrested, and they were even baton charged during that time. Perhaps that was the beginning, after all, on some events after that, because the people realized that that they can't even show their displeasure on a simple thing like constant power failure, and they were deprived of their studies.
Were you able to forge lasting relationships with some of your Czech colleagues?
I left in 1972. Czech government really didn't like any Czech people having any contacts with the Western world. Because of that, Czech friends did not want us to write to them. So that was very sad.
I agree with Nandini's comment, but during the 5-year period I spent there, I had very good memories of my fellow students. They were very helpful. We had a lot of fun together. I think we visited a lot of pubs and that kind of thing together and spare time. One of my friend or roommate, he was feeling very bad that I had to spend the first Christmas all by myself here at the hostel, and he sent me an ticket to come and visit his hometown. Looking back, that's one of the greatest gifts I got, and unfortunately, I don't know where he is. And not only that, some of these roommates, when they go back home, they don't have a lot, but some of the homemade food they always shared with us as a true friend. For me, those were the days we always struggling to exist with very limited resources. And here is a Czech roommate of mine. He comes and bring, instead of 2 pieces of beef he brought in from home, he shared, give me one and say, here, enjoy it. So for me, that tells a long story of what is a true friendship.
And that edition of One on One just about brings us to the end of today's program. But before we say goodbye, let me remind you that you can always check our website, www.radio.cz, or if you prefer, drop us a line through the regular post. Our address is Radio Prague, 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. For me, Brian Kennedy, and the rest of us in the studio, thanks for joining us, and please tune in again soon.